I was so undeserving, and yet, you were so relentless. I pushed, you pulled. I wept, you embraced. I bled, you repaired. I stopped, you smiled. I was a disaster, the worst of its kind. And yet, you still had the audacity to let me know that I was beautiful. Hey, this is Ali Ruskash, and welcome to the AR Podcast.
This is the AR Podcast.
Feminism and the idea of equality began in 1848, when thousands of women and men marched for equality. Almost 20 years later, the founding fathers of cinema were born, the Lumière Brothers. The first cinema was formed in the basement of a Grand Café in Paris in 1895, and back then, nobody thought the paths of cinema and feminism could ever cross. Now, fast forward to 2012. The fourth wave of feminism is born, and with it, all the industries in the world begin to change face. All industries, especially the movie industry. Maybe back then in 2012, when Sami Marjorie was still a student, she never thought of being in the film industry, let alone finding a company that has taken a huge step towards equality in the movie industry of Iran. So 2-3 months ago when I contacted you for the first time, you were pretty busy with the film festival. Can you tell me a little bit about the experience of, were you a judge there?
No, actually, I was working there as the manager of Iranian section of the festival. A very long time ago, they separated the Fajr, the international part of the festival, with the national. So the national part is taking place in Bahman, in February. So I was working with the international part of the festival as the manager of the Iranian section. So the main job for me is, watching the Iranian films and make a shortlist for the main judge to select the whole program. Unfortunately, it was meant to be in May, to take place in May, but because of the COVID-19, it is postponed until I don't know when. Exactly.
I mean, this is something that has been going through. Like, I'm pretty sure, all the film festivals around the world are being affected by this.
Yeah, it's crazy. The whole film industry is on pause, so we cannot really, plan our programs. It's crazy.
Okay, so before we continue with this, can we just back up a little bit? I want to know about you, and can you tell me when did you became interested in the movie industry?
I haven't thought about it in a way to be able to describe it exactly. I mean, I just naturally live my life and just followed my nose. Truth be told, I have changed my professional path a few times. But I cannot really tell why I chose, the film industry. Even though I can tell you that I have always been an unsatisfied person with inequality and stereotypes in a way. I believe it is the key in my whole journey in my professional path. Actually, stereotypes just piss me off, seriously. Nothing can blow my mind more than hearing stereotyped stories or thoughts on different subjects, either about different races or, I don't know, about genders, about religions and everything. So it makes me, stereotypes makes me feel very sad and very angry at the same time. And that's why in all these changes in my career, I have always tried to challenge stereotypes. And now that I am thinking about it, I think it's probably that is the reason I started my work as a journalist, like, I don't know, 10 years ago. I was in love with writing when I was just a little girl, especially writing about the stories which have difficulties to be heard. I have always been fascinated to recommend or promote the stories I found interesting or important myself. So I started studying my bachelor in communication and media studies at Allame Tabatabai University, which was one of the best universities in Iran in this field. And simultaneously, I started working in a weekly magazine called Chelcharagh.
Oh my God, I love that magazine.
Yeah, yeah. So in my experience as a journalist, I was also working in cinema and theater section because I have always been in love with cinema and its glamorous way to tell stories. I don't know when this love was started exactly, but after a while, I started working as PR specialist for theater groups, which I adored their work too. I just wanted to help them to get seen and to, you know, to support them to promote their work. Following this path, I became a copywriter in advertising, but I remained a PR specialist in cinema and theater too. And I started working as assistant and as a unit publicist for Asghar Farhadi's film as well. So I believe in when we see the bigger picture, we can see the passion to fight the stereotypes in a way in this journey. I mean, journalism and theater, I think, seriously challenge stereotypes with simply telling the stories from different point of views. I mean, it shows you the other side of the story, which probably you haven't thought about it or you haven't seen it because of so many reasons. However, I believe cinema is more powerful than all the media forms I have had experience in. Yeah, and it has psychologically been approved too, because when you see something, you tend to believe it. That is why the visual storytelling is so powerful. So no wonder I chose to remain in this field after a while. And I found a very interesting subject in the London Film School. Because I, you know, Mike Leigh, the British filmmaker, is one of my favorite filmmakers of all time. And he is the chairman of the London Film School. So I found this school through Mike Leigh. And I found the MA International Film Business subject, which the description of the subject actually was a dream came true for me. Because in general, it was the gist of everything I wanted in a career in cinema. So it happened, I applied for the subject, for the master, and they accepted me, and the dream year in my life started. And yeah, after graduation, I came back to Iran, and after a year, I found my own company.
Your journey has been really, really fascinating. Like, you know, as you're even talking about it, it's for me, it's like, you know, oh my God, she's gone through so much that it's almost crazy. And you've gone to the UK and film school, and it's can you just tell me a little bit more about it? Like, what is the difference like of experiences basically between the movie industry of Iran and then when you go to a film school like that and you learn about the film industry of Europe basically?
Yeah. Actually, first of all, studying in somewhere like London Film School was a lifetime opportunity for me. I mean, besides studying the major I really loved, I had the chance to get to know some fantastic people from different nationalities from around the world who had shared this great passion towards cinema with me. Part of this experience was meeting different people. I mean, being friends with so many people from different backgrounds and different cultures allowed me to challenge the stereotypes within myself too. Yes, I hate the stereotypes, but we are all find ourselves stuck in the stereotypes more or less through our lives, because most of the time we are growing up with them. It is within our culture, our education, our society, our relatives. So it takes power to beat the stereotypes. So I try to cut myself too, and living abroad really helped me to do that. I really appreciate it. And studying at the London Film School also gave me the opportunity to experience the most, the most important film festivals atmosphere up front. And I had the chance to experience some internship at some, distribution companies, which was great, actually. And having said that, regarding your question about the difference between the Iranian film industry and the European film industry, truth be told, there are so many differences in details, especially. For instance, I am talking from my side, my own point of view as the film distributor or even the film unit publicist, because I have my own company now, but I am doing PR for some films which are interesting for me too. I think in the European film industry, it is also the case in the US film industry as well. Usually the distributor and the publicist join the film from the early stages, even from the development. And they are usually one of the first person to be attached to the film. It does not usually happen in Iran. I mean, the crew go to production, they finish their film, and they come to you and say, look, we have finished this film and here it is. Please take it, do some marketing on it and distribute it. I mean, it doesn't really work like this. I, as the film distributor or even unit publicist, need to be the master in business skill, yeah? I mean, I can be the master of negotiation. I can be the master of, film contracts, marketing, accounting, and anything in the business side of it. But I cannot be the master of your film if I am not next to the film in its journey. I mean, each film is a unique product. It has its own characteristic. I need to work on each aspect of the story from the very beginning. And I mean, otherwise, I cannot do what I really want to do and what I really can do for this film. This is one of my greatest regrets about the Iranian industry compared to the US or even European industry.
Fine. Going back to the stereotypes that you were talking about, and I really want to focus on the discrimination mostly that the women are basically facing in the country in general, like, you know. And at the same time, when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, you know, it can only be in the day-to-day lives that I'm like, you know, seeing this. It should be in the movie industry as well. And I'm asking you, as somebody who have been in the movie industry of Iran and in maybe other countries, can you tell me if this is actually true and women face discrimination in the movie industry as well?
Actually, I do believe there is also discrimination in the movie industry as well. I mean, truth be told, it is a very long story, and to describe it, I need to have like so many statistics and numbers. But long story short, this discrimination, even in the world cinema, is still happening. I mean, they are ahead of us in so many aspects, even in this aspect as well. But women in film industry are still fighting for their rights all around the world. Fighting for equal rights. For instance, women have less salaries than men in the film industry in the world. It literally breaks my heart. I mean, because they don't have less abilities, for sure. For example, I don't know if you have seen Céline Sciamma's last film, the French director, called Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
No, I haven't, and I think I should, because I've had a lot of people telling me that I should.
Yeah, it is very amazing. I recommend all of the listeners and you to watch it. It is like, it is fabulous. It is so beautiful, and most of the film crew are women, even the director of the photography, which does not usually happen, you know. The director of the photography, 98% of the time, is among men. But the film is a masterpiece. It's so beautiful. So women have the ability, and we can see it. But they are historically underestimated. they have the knowledge, but sadly, we are taking it for granted historically. That is why I have picked this niche market for modern films as well. I mean, I am trying my best to encourage women to stand up for themselves, especially in the film industry, and communicate their voice through storytelling. It doesn't matter if you fail in the beginning. It's not going to be easy for neither of us, but it needs to be happened at some point.
I see. You have a film distributor company. You have your own company, and it's called Maroon Films. And I was reading a description on the on Instagram, and you have said it on the description that your company focuses on stories about women, and maybe if women want to direct a movie, or like you want to have a movie, basically you are there to help them. So you're doing this, you're doing your part, because we've seen a shift throughout the world, like, you know, over the like 2-3 maybe years with the Me Too movement and everything. It seems like the discrimination maybe hopefully it's being eradicated, hopefully. But to talk about it in our country, maybe it's a long shot right now, but I'm pretty sure you're doing your part, and it feels like the entire thing is shifting. So congratulations for that. But at the same time, can you tell me more about Maroon Films?
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much for selling that. Actually, that means a lot, because that is my passion. As I said before, I am passionate to help people to be heard and to be seen. People who have interesting points of views and have difficulties to communicate their voice. Then when I was writing the Maroon Films business plan, and I was thinking about all the journey it has ahead, which is not going to be easy at all, and I know that. I was thinking about this question: what this company can do, which other similar companies are not really worried about or don't bother. I mean, what value it can add to its clients and to its client products and films. So having said that, I have always considered myself as a feminist. I mean, feminism is among those terms which has been misunderstanding and has so many stereotypes around itself, around the term feminism. People usually have a guard when you say, I'm a feminist. But I mean feminism as equality between men and women, not similarity. Besides that, I know so many great and talented Iranian women in films who are trying and working so hard to communicate their voice and their stories to the world. On the other hand, there are so many stereotypes within the international audiences about Iranian women. So I decided that Maroon Films is going to promote either Iranian women filmmakers or films which are narrating Iranian women daily routines, which are more close to the reality of our lives. Because we women need to support each other first. So I think Maroon Films is trying to build Iranian women in films and support them in any way it can. Also tries to picture a far from cliche image from women in Iran. So that is what Maroon Films is trying to achieve in short.
And are we talking about independent films? Am I getting this right?
Yes, somehow, yeah.
So do you think, because I had a question in my mind from 2-3-4 years ago that I really wanted to know, can movies in Iran truly be independent?
That's a very tricky question, Ali. I'm not going to lie to you. But talking about the independent cinema is a very controversial discussion, and it can go for hours. But in general, the term independent cinema is something was invented to describe the cinema which was produced outside the studio system in the Hollywood. So this term initially comes from the U.S. film industry. But after years, when the studio system somehow ended, the terms has been changed a lot in terms of the meaning since then. So I'm not really sure if you can find an independent side of the cinema in Iran. But I can definitely say that there are some films which could be considered as independent in the within the Iranian industry. For example, I believe the films you usually watch under the art and experience cinemas and programs are among them. Or the films which usually only seen at the prestigious film festivals and they don't have the chance to be screened in movie theaters in Iran. So they can definitely consider it as independent in the Iranian cinema, but there are not so many.
That's pretty fascinating. And I really wanted to talk to you more about this and about the subject of stereotypes and the discrimination and everything. Yeah. We can do that another time when we're meeting face to face, because it's just one of those subjects that is just very intriguing, because we can't really talk about this much. So it's really fascinating for me to talk more about this. So yeah, I am going to come to you and we will definitely talk about this more.
Sure, sure.
Right now we are in a global pandemic, and it's one of those subjects that I'm pretty sure everybody's been talking about. And whoever calls you probably would say hey, how are you dealing with your day? So yeah. I am going to ask you the cliche question of how are you dealing with your day?
Yeah, actually, I mean, dear God, we are living in a very strange time right now, and like most of us, I am staying home and I am working remotely from home, but I am really trying my best to have a routine for myself, which is quite challenging as well. I am doing I am exercising with YouTube channels every day. I am trying to do that. I watch films and series more than ever. Sometimes I play games. And I have started translating a book recently. And also I am learning French. So wow. It seems quite productive, but I believe there are so many great contents out there. It's unbelievable. We need to just search them, find them, and stick to them. There are so many good quality contents, and we can learn a lot from them. But most importantly, I think during these trying times, I am thinking about so many things as well. I am thinking about my family, my friends, my life, things I have and I am grateful for. And simultaneously, I cannot really stop thinking about others who don't have these blessings. I mean, yeah, I am staying home with my beloved cat. I have this opportunity to visit my parents and go shopping for them twice a week and look after them. But I am thinking about those people who are not able to do this. I mean, those who do not have the chance to work remotely, those who have lost their jobs and their salary. And I think it is very tragic for me. I am so worried about our community, especially the film and theater community, who cannot really work during the pandemic. And I am so worried about the world in general. So I am trying my best to stay connected. This is the most important thing I am trying to do, to stay connected with people I know, stay connected with my colleagues who are not able to work until God knows when, and check on them. Because I believe each of us could help others around them. And if we do this, we will be more powerful and more safe. I am trying to help as much as I can. And also, I think we are living in a very uncertain time. We all know it is hard. We all miss so many simple routines, going to a restaurant, watching films in a theater, kissing our friends, our family members, our beloved ones, and you name it. But generally, we all should know and must know we are literally in this together, and that we only have each other, and we all feel each other, and we must be there for each other. And I cannot really emphasize more to stay connected and be there for one another. I do believe this is the only way to pass this crazy time with minimum damage.
You're right. And every time, it's because it's pretty crazy, and it's something that I don't think any of us would ever imagine be in a situation like this. It's pretty difficult for everybody, and at the same time, it's pretty challenging. And it's mentally challenging, like, you know, to not be able to see your loved ones and not be able to do the routine things that you always wanted to do during the day. So every time I go through this and I feel like, oh my God, what's going on? When is it going to end? I always remind myself that everybody around the world is experiencing the same thing. It's not only me. It's everybody in the world. So that gives me a little bit of courage to maybe, like, you know, say, fine. But since, as you said, we're all in this together, let's just do something about it. Let's just do something about a day and try to go through it without, you know, trying to think anything negative. Let's be positive. Hopefully this will end.
Yeah, yeah. This is the most important thing. And I think that is why I emphasize on connection and reconnection somehow. If you catch up with your friends, with your family, with your loved ones, you can feel that we are in this together. And it is really, it can calm the mind, and we can get through this.
So, Sameen, you mentioned working with Mr. Fahadi, and I wanted to know if... I wanted to know more about the experience of working with him, but through this question, I want to ask you, what is the, I'd say, most fascinating project you've ever been in, you know, from your point of view?
To be honest, I must say literally every project I was involved in. I mean, I am that kind of person who is, who does not actually choose the project unless she has faith in it or likes it. So I can assure you, I have not chosen any project which I don't love or I don't believe in it. However, yes, my favorite project in my whole career is the opportunity to work with Asghar Farhadi as his assistant and as his PR. Because I am always fascinated by his great work. I mean, yeah, who isn't? And I am very grateful to be next to him and have the opportunity to learn from him. This is something I am really grateful for. And also, I am currently working on a film called Orca, directing by Sahar Musayyebi, which I absolutely love this story and the whole process.
Yeah, knowing the writer of this film, I'm pretty fascinated about the entire production myself, and I really want to know what's going to happen. So, which movie was it that you worked with Asghar Farhadi?
I am working with him since after the past movie, one of his films, which was filming in French, in France. And after that, I joined him. I am working with him like based on a daily routine, and I am attached to every film he has directed after that. So it will be like The Salesman, Everybody Knows, and now we are working on his new film called A Hero.
Okay, that's pretty fascinating. A Hero is the next movie of Mr. Fahadi?
Yeah.
Fine. When is it coming out?
Yeah, we are all waiting for this panel.
I'm such a fan. Okay, and do you have any message for, I'd say, the Iranian women out there?
For Iranian woman, I mean, I am way too smaller than having a message to a fabulous fellow community like Iranian women, because I am learning from them every day. I adore them from the bottom of my heart, and because most importantly, I believe they are doing a great job in this country. And I believe we are doing this and we are living this, and I am so grateful to have the chance to support it and to support the Iranian women in films in my own profession.
And I believe you're doing so. And knowing you and basically talking with you was an amazing experience for me, because I really wanted to know more. I believe, and I really, really do believe this, when you have started something as, I'd say, amazing as Maroon Films, I'm pretty sure that you've made your mark, and hopefully in the future we're going to see change, and for the better, of course. And looking back at that, I'm pretty sure a lot of people would think of you maybe, like, you know, changing something, you know, in the future of the Iranian women. Hopefully.
Thank you very much. It's great to hear it from you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for the time. It's crazy. I'm so happy that it finally happened. It's been so many, like, you know, maybe yeah, 3-4 months that I really wanted to do this.
Thank you very much. I would have loved to have this in person, but I hope when all these crazy things end, we can meet. And thank you very much for having me. I hope it was it could be useful for some of your audiences, and I really adore your work. So do us a favor and keep up the great job.
Oh my god, thank you so much. Yeah, okay, that was the motivation of the year for me.
This episode was sponsored by Odibesh Pastry. They have the most amazing cakes and cookies. Once you taste the deliciousness, you can never go back. You can find them on Instagram at Odibesh Pastry. This has been Ali Ruskesh, the OCDR podcast.
This was the AR podcast.
AR podcast.